Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, as Will Bill Jack from Worldview Academy is with us on this edition. And Bill, this comes right down your alley in the sense that you have been engaging this battle in your conservative county, Doug County, Colorado, over the last number of months. A Texas judge has issued a temporary restraining order that prevents a Texas law from going into effect, which would have prohibited drag queens from conducting sexually explicit demonstrations for children under 18 years of age. Judge David Hittner considered the law an infringement of the, quote, constitutional rights of the plaintiffs, in this case, drag queens represented by the ACLU. So basically, they should be able to do whatever they want to do with kids on the basis of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. That's a bit of a stretch.
Well,
it's a bit of a stretch.
It does not surprise me, because as we have seen the culture move away from a biblical worldview, you're going to see that this is the next step. It was the homosexual activists a few years ago who were the outspoken, loud, angry, violent activists.
Right.
They have now they've now tamped all that down. Why? Because they've been accepted into the mainstream.
Right.
We've now seen the transgender movement come along and be that. And at what is the spear point of the transgender movement is the drag queen show. Because it entices and it seduces children into that lifestyle.
Right.
It makes it normal. And so what you're going to see is you're going to see this push, and they're activists, they're angry, they're loud, they're violent, and they try to intimidate, and they call you haters if you stand up against it. And what will happen is once they're accepted in the mainstream, which will be very soon, they will tamp down their activism, and it'll just be normal.
Until you get the next group that shows up.
Which is bestiality.
Yeah.
And then what is it? It's homosexual rape and violence.
Yeah. The law prohibits, the Texas law is prohibiting the exhibition of sexual gesticulations using accessories that exaggerate male or female sexual characteristics at events attended by children under 18 years of age. And this judge has effectively, you know, dismissed the law for the time being. And apparently in the two-day hearing, the drag queens did their performance for the judge, and apparently he was impressed with it.
Well, he didn't have to pay for the show, did he?
No, I guess not. So, well, that's what's going on. And it's interesting, a survey done in April of this year, only 14% of Americans are against public drag shows in the sense they want to ban them. 50% of Americans are for banning them for under 18s, and 62% of Republicans are for banning them for kids under 18 years of age. So it's starting to gain some traction with the public at this point. They're working under the presumption that any publicity is good publicity for the outrageous, wicked things that are brought out into the public eye.
As long as you spell the drag queen's name correctly.
Yeah, I guess that's all that's concerned. In other words, it doesn't matter if it's negative. It doesn't matter if the Republicans are coming after, because our society has already accepted everything that is wicked and opposes God's law. Whatever makes it into the media, even if there are, you know, some tight-laced conservatives that are shouting down the outrageousness of these wicked people, it seems that this publicity turns out to be positive publicity for them. And just adds to their position year by year, to the point that I'm guessing within 3 to 4 years from now, you're going to see, you know, 70-80% of Americans okay with this kind of show for kids under 18 years of age.
I don't think it's going to take that long. Just recently, as you mentioned, in Douglas County, Colorado, at the fairgrounds, there was a Pride Fest, and part of the Pride Fest was a drag queen show for children. It was family friendly, supposedly. Last year, it was egregious. And so there was an outcry from Christians and conservatives, mainly Republicans, too. And yet, the county commissioners refused to act. Two of them out of the three kiboshed any attempt to regulate or stop the drag queen show. One stood firm. So a group of Christians and churches and a couple of churches in Castle Rock, Colorado, went to the city council and asked the city council to pass some kind of ordinance along the same lines, the one that you just mentioned from Texas, because even though it's the jurisdiction of the county fairgrounds is under the county fairgrounds is in the city limits of Castle Rock, which means old leash laws or noise ordinances would still apply. So they were going to, they proposed an ordinance to the city council to regulate and stop such shows for children under 18. It's created quite a brouhaha. Well, the drag queen show and the Pride Fest occurred last weekend, and several men, about 75 men, stood in defiance of the drag queen show. It was an honor to stand shoulder to shoulder with men who turned their backs on the drag queen show and had a t-shirt on the front that said, "Stand to protect children." And on the back, it said, "Jesus loves you and I do too." Now, I'm not sure that that's the message. "Jesus loves you and I do too" is the message for that crowd. I'd rather see maybe "God will not be mocked."
Mm-hmm.
But it was an honor to stand with men who stood in silence and stood in defiance of evil. And it's about time, I think.
Well, the big question, of course, for any small village across the heartland of America is, do we allow these in our parades? Do we allow these drag queen shows in the public square instead of just suppressing it into the basements in the red light districts of San Francisco, or do we allow it everywhere? And of course, they're going to argue on the basis of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, they're allowed to go anywhere they want to go. But the question, of course, for every city council in America is, will you have the backbone? Will you maintain the biblical position on sexual perversion such that you would stand against this no matter what? And I'm afraid that there are very few city councils in America, including those in the heartland of Iowa or even the state of Colorado, that would stand against, or Oklahoma or Texas for that matter, that would stand against this kind of thing in the public square. Incremental legislation for that which is right usually ends up with even more of what you're trying to prevent. You can sell marijuana to 18-year-old kids, but you can't sell marijuana to 17-year-old kids. That usually winds up not working very well.
Exactly.
And the same thing, of course, is going to happen with this. Until you put these drag queens in prison for what they're doing in public, you're going to have this particular set of demons out there doing whatever they want to do with kids.
Yeah, it's prurient behavior.
You have to nip it in the bud.
It's lasciviousness.
You have to nip it in the bud, and it's almost nobody in the civil magistrate today has the will to stand against this evil that is utterly corrupting our society today. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Hello, my friends. Our families and churches are crying out for men to lead, to shepherd. There is no greater need today than this. We need shepherds. We need shepherding for the shepherds. And I'm not exaggerating here, but the Shepherds Conference is the most important function of our ministry in any given year. For 12 years, we have sponsored this week-long training in my home and down the street at our church building so that men from around the country and around the world can gather in a serious, immersive, intensive training for 5 days. The best thing you can do and we can do for our families and churches is invest in Christ-like shepherding, shepherd training. This year, we're looking at October 2nd through the 6th out here in my hometown, Elizabeth, Colorado. It's only about 40 guys. We bring in the most experienced godly shepherds to lead the sessions. Our daughters make the meals and we gather for worship, teaching, psalm singing, prayer, and small groups and fellowship for 5 days out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. We still have a few openings, so now's a good time to register at www.generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. Meals and lodging provided for a nominal cost. Come on down and join us for Shepherds Conference 23. And back on Generations, Kevin Swanson with you as well, Bill Jack. And Bill, as connected to this issue, as you know, the drag queen show is coming to every nook and cranny, every small village across the fruited plains of this country. couple articles have come out on this that recently the United States government is so excited about all of this. They're exporting the gospel of drag queens to the world now. So just getting it out, getting the good news of the gospel of the religion of drag queenology to the entire world. Fox News reported recently the U.S. Department of State is funding drag queen performances in Ecuador to promote diversity and inclusion. Apparently a $20,600 grant to a nonprofit supported by the U.S. Embassy and Consulate in Ecuador. First of its kind, funding drag performances. That was as of 2022, more to this year as well. So apparently Americans are becoming missionaries for the doctrine of Nero, the gospel of LGBTQ, the gospel of autonomy, the gospel of the devil, of sexual anarchy, social disintegration, the whole nine yards. They call it woke diplomacy.
So much for elections really don't matter. Elections do matter.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Yep, and guess who got it? Yeah.
Because we export policy as a result of who's elected.
We do. And the Trump administration was a little bit of a breath of fresh air for our friends in Africa, South America. I mean, just obviously, he was something of a breath of fresh air. He had something of a, well, I would call it the window of opportunity for some level of sanity to return to the nations, to our nation first.
Right.
Well, woke U.S. diplomacy apparently not 100% popular around the globe. This from Zero Hedge. Tyler Durden wrote this article. This would have been last Thursday. A Zero Hedge on occasion has a good article. And this is an interesting article. I think it was initially authored by Real Clear Wire, but the Biden administration is fraying relations with some allies and generating pushback from Congress by spending millions of tax dollar monies to promote the woke ideology abroad that has stirred controversy at home since President Biden took office. In a national security memorandum, shortly after his swearing in, Biden ordered all federal agencies with dealings abroad not only to protect LGBT rights in the face of discrimination and violence, but to actively advance them. His State Department has said one of its goals is to embed intersectional equity principles into diversifying public diplomacy and communication strategies and relations with other nations. U.S. ambassadors around the world have translated those words into action, championing LGBT rights in countries that oppose them, funding performances that feature drag queens, and holding diversity, equity, and inclusion seminars. Recent reports estimate nearly $5 million has been spent abroad on LGBT programs alone. So that would include the $20,000 to Ecuador, I guess. Among the State Department initiatives, $10,000 grant to a Portuguese LGBT activist group to finance a film festival featuring incest, pederasty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as well as drag performances. Okay, so, I mean, right down to child molestation, the whole nine yards. Your federal dollars hard at work there. Also, a $300,000 State Department grant to Botswana aimed to promote greater social acceptance of LGBTQ persons, including among influential religious groups and traditional groups who preach or teach that homosexuality is immoral, Roman Catholics, evangelical Christians, Muslims, and Orthodox Jews. In other words, that $300,000 is to offend every other religion in the world because they're exporting the religion of Nero, the religion of gross humanism or sexual anarchy, the religion that Nero taught, persecute Christians, get married to another man, and burn down Rome, which is the agenda of the United States.
Yeah.
It's a self-destructive agenda
down the culture.
And all other cultures around the world. So that's of course, the goal. Now, it turns out that Kuwait's not happy. They've criticized the acting charge d'affaires of the U.S. Embassy for promoting Pride Month in June in Kuwait. In Hungary, the foreign minister there clashed with U.S. Ambassador David Pressman, who is openly homosexual and publicly criticizing the Hungarian government over LGBT issues. Now, that would have been one of the worst possible slams on a nation in the history of foreign diplomacy. You know, to think about putting this guy into Hungary. I mean, yeah. I can't think of anything more awful that the U.S. government could have done than to put this guy as the foreign minister or as the ambassador to Hungary.
Yeah.
Again,
what a
slam
insult
in Hungary's face. Foreign minister said that if he wishes to use his stay in Hungary to criticize the actions of a government elected by a clear majority of the Hungarian people, he will have a very difficult job in working effectively to improve cooperation between the two countries. So that was the response of the foreign minister to the appointment of this man and the sorts of things that he's saying as an ambassador to the country of Hungary. Well, please understand, my friends, that America is defining itself by this religion. Please understand, this is the post-Christian religion. This is the anti-Christian religion. This is the worldview and religion that characterizes America and the West, called wokeism. Anything that will destroy the morality of a nation, the integrity of family, sexuality, marriage, anything that will destroy, that's what wokeism is for. Anything that will destroy ethnic unity in a nation, anything that will stir up racial disunity, class envy, Marxism, etc. That's the religion that's being exported through the U.S. State Department at this point. In the past, Bill, America defined itself as Christian. Now, American religion is wokeism, at least as defined by the U.S. federal government. And ultimately, it's humanism, but it's humanism in its most destructive form. I mean, you have different forms of humanism, or man worship, or the centrality of man, man being the center and the source of all ethics, truth, reality, etc. Man in control of his own destiny, etc. Okay, we understand humanism, but wokeism is perhaps the most destructive form of humanism, and it will fast track the destruction of a culture and a social system.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there are degrees of moving away from a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
And humanism still claims to have ethics. And yet, the wokeism, the ethics are totally upside down now. So, mm-hmm. What is evil is good, and what is good is evil. So,
and they've got it almost in perfect alignment this
yes.
point. Right.
Yes.
The nations of the world are not necessarily buying all of this. Other countries apparently still want to retain some degree of sanity and social integrity when it comes to matters like transgenderism, transvestism, and homosexuality. Other countries do not want to commit national suicide like the Western nations are doing to themselves. The nations of the world are more and more aligning themselves according to their stance taken on traditional marriage. This is the way I end one of the final chapters in American God's Providence, new edition coming out in about 3 months. So this is the way I end it, because I talk about how the West is against the East is against the West. We have two different forms developing now, no longer the allies and the axis. It's now the East versus West, big time. It's East against the West. And they are more and more aligning themselves according to the stance taken on traditional marriage. That's what's most interesting here, which kind of makes sense, because marriage is one of the most fundamental issues in all of human existence. I mean, agree with that? I assume
yeah.
you would agree with that,
yeah.
right? I mean, can you think of anything more basic to any kind of human society than marriage and family?
No.
I'm trying to think if there's anything more basic
exactly
than that.
And that's exactly why they're going after it.
That's exactly, yeah, exactly. It's suicide. It's to blow up the country and destroy civilization, which they're doing very well. But the East doesn't want to do that. Eastern nations generally respect traditions and consider the integrity of marriage and family somewhat essential for human civilization. The Western countries do not, especially those that have turned against Christ, those that have turned against the Christian faith and have turned towards national suicide. So both Eastern and Western nations, Bill, are pretty much anti-Christian, but in different ways. And, mm-hmm. and that, I think, is the best way to put it. I'm trying to understand how this all plays out. The Western nations are a post-Christian apostate nation. They've been there, done that, and they burned the T-shirt. So that's the Western nations. The Eastern nations tend to be anti-Christian as well, largely because they're anti-West, which is interesting. You know, they don't like Christianity because they don't like the West.
Yeah.
But the Eastern nations are still hanging on to some generally respected traditions, whereas the Western nations have jettisoned all tradition, all common grace that could have kept their respective societies together. Well, as it turns out, as you look at this breakdown that I put in the final chapters of American God's Providence coming out in about 2 to 3 months, the world is dividing on traditional marriage. On the one side, you have the U.S. allies. On the other side, you have not the U.S. allies, or the BRICS. They typically call them the BRICS, and I don't actually have – it's the Association of the Eastern Nations, which include India, China, parts of Africa, the Soviet Union, et cetera, et cetera. So on the one hand, you have India, China, Africa, Russia, Indonesia, Pakistan, Vietnam, Iran, Turkey, Thailand, Myanmar, and Iraq. All of these are for traditional marriage. They make up approximately 6 billion people in the world. Now, on our side, who do we have on our side? On our side, we have the United States, Western Europe, Northern Europe, Southern Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Ukraine, Taiwan, South Korea, Japan, Brazil, Mexico, and that comes out to 1.4 billion. So we have 1.4 billion people on our side. They've got roughly 6 billion on their side. All of their side, with the exception of South Africa, is pro-traditional marriage. All of those on our side are against traditional marriage, with the exception of Japan. Japan is on the line. So what you have at this point is two or three nations that are a bit on the fence on this. Brazil and South Africa are the only wild cards. They're part of BRICS, but the rest of the East are pretty much traditional marriage. Other than that, on the other side, 1 billion people in the world make up the rotting out apostate Western world. 7 billion people in the world are still basically traditional, against hanging on to these rotted out apostate values. In other words, they're for the traditional cultural and social values. So who's going to win? The 7 billion people in the world or the 1 billion people in the world that have embraced the rotting foundations of the Western world? Who's going to win? Well, here's a couple of data points. The East has 6,600 nuclear weapons. The West has 5,800 nuclear weapons. So the East has slightly more nuclear weapons than we do. The East is ahead in supersonic technology as well. Its delivery systems include hypersonic missiles, a delivery system capable of knocking out a U.S. city within 30 minutes of launch. North Korea has fired off nuclear bombs at least six times and probably has collected about 100 nuclear warheads, enough to kill off about half of Japan's population in a first strike. So the rogue state there began an aggressive test program for missiles and nuclear warhead delivery systems in 2012, accomplishing 31 tests in 2022. Also, the Chinese economy is very much advanced. It's about tenfold what it was as a percentage of the U.S. economy in 1980. China has expanded its nuclear capacity, 400 warheads. This statistic I just picked off the internet today, 17% increase per year, which puts them about 1,000 nuclear warheads in 5 years from now. So they're closing in on 1,000 nuclear warheads. Between Russia and America, we've got about 1,600 warheads that are deployed, which means that, you know, China and Russia basically on the same side, the traditional side, America on the other side. This introduces the question, of course, for us, whose side are you on? Geopolitically, it becomes harder for Christians to take one side over the other. They're all embracing the most egregious possible policies, either persecuting Christians, embracing homosexuality, killing off 40 to 60% of the population by abortion and abortifacients and such. And then the governments are encouraging all of this. What are we going to do? The nations are set against the Lord and against his anointed. But interestingly, they are also set against each other. So this is the really interesting element. Almost all the nations of the world are against Christianity, the Christian faith. They certainly are against a Christian law, a Christian moral ethic. And so they're set against the Lord and his anointed. As you know, in Psalm 2, that usually doesn't go very well for them. But they're also set against each other. But listen to this. I just picked this off this morning, 2 Chronicles 20. So this is the folks of Judah. They arose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise, okay, the Lord set up ambushes. This is when Ammon, Moab, and Edom come against the children of Judah. And so the Lord set up ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there they were, their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. So this is one of the classic stories in the Old Testament where the people of God were so busy worshiping God and singing these psalms of praise to God, they didn't get a chance to get out there into the fight. And the three enemies evidently consumed each other in process. Interesting?
Yeah. You know, we often hear, "Oh, Christians are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good." Well, maybe in this case, it was pretty good that they were so heavenly minded that they stepped back and let God do his thing.
Well, they certainly understood their priorities. Our priority is to worship God. And let's come together as the church and worship God first and foremost.
Exactly. And I would say that.
And the end is always in the hand of God anyway. We
exactly,
know that.
Yes. And I would say if Christians aren't heavenly minded, then they are of no earthly good because we need to apply biblical principles. But that is an interesting story.
Well, let me close this way, my friends. Geopolitically, the economic and political strains are increasing by the day right now. Socialism on the rise among South American countries, where the leftist candidates are winning elections in Brazil, Colombia, Argentina, El Salvador, Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, and Honduras. African and South American nations are increasingly cozied up to the Chinese and Russians against America. And that has placed Europe and North America against the rest of the world, roughly 1 billion of the world's population set against the other 7 billion. And at this time, America stands with Taiwan against China and stands with Ukraine against Russia. So the lines are increasingly drawn all around us. But what do we do? Well, this is the way I close the chapter in American God's Providence. The best advice for Americans is to humble themselves before God, fear God, and realize that God is in absolute control of the destiny of every nation on earth. God makes the nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them, Job 12:23. Just keep that in mind, my friends. It's our job to humble ourselves, repent, obey God, and God will sort it all out. But that's our job. And so the first thing that needs to happen for this country is to humble ourselves before Him and then wait upon Him and be obedient to Him and see how He works all of this out. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.